Again, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. You can just title this, The Crowd. The Crowd. The Crowd. If you take notes, you're a radical Christian who takes notes in church, just title it, The Crowd. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. Is that what y'all are looking at? Is that what y'all are seeing? Good. Where'd He come from? Where'd He return from? He just returned from healing a man with a legion of devils in him. He just came from the other side of the sea where He had fed 5,000 people, not counting women and children. He had met somebody so lonely. He was sitting in a graveyard cutting himself, and all he had was him and his demons. Somewhere he probably said, "God, if you're real, we show up, because I'm about to commit suicide. I'm about to die. I'm trying to die. I'm trying to quit." God's still meeting people in alleyways. He's still meeting people on the street. He's still meeting people in hotel rooms with Gideon Bibles and messages. He's still meeting good old country boys who are parked off down in the woods. They've got a little gun in their lap, maybe listening to their favorite country song, thinking about, "I can't go no further." Some man who's got troubles at home, and he thinks it'd be better off for him to be dead than alive. Some wife who's struggling to make it because her husband's walked out on her and left, and she's got so many problems, so many issues. Maybe that's not us this morning. Y'all don't. God meets lonely people in lonely places. He'll come by the prison, even if you've killed somebody on death row and waiting for your day to come up. He'll send some Christian radical by your office, by your room, knock on your door, look through a little pie slot, and tell you that Jesus still loves you. But that's not who I'm preaching to this morning. I'm preaching to a group of people sitting in a crowd. And you're still lonely. You're still a mess. See, He arrived on the other side, and everybody, they joyfully received Him. They had heard about the healing, they had heard about the feeding, and they had heard about how good Jesus is. And I think about it, as a pastor, I think about this all the time. All of us are coming in here every Sunday, and man, do we look good. I see a crowd that's in here, man, I can't wait to worship. I can't wait to learn. I can't wait for the message. But I see a dad who's hyperventilating. Tears running down his face. His name's Jairus. He's in the crowd too. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on up to the shoreline. Come on into the crowd. I need you. My daughter's dying. I need you. Everybody else is here, is shouting and praising and having a good time. I think I'm dying. I think my daughter's passing away. I can't handle the situation. Have you ever been in a situation where everybody else was having a great time, but you're having a hard time, even in a crowd? I mean, there's a big group of people there, and everybody's having a good time, but every time you think about having a good time, your problem whispers in your ear. You're still sick. You're still broke. You're still going through a problem with your wife. You're still going through a problem with your husband. You're still going through a problem with your family. You know you're still mad. You know you're still hurt. You know you're still bitter. You know you're still angry. You know after this church service is over, you're going to have to deal with your issue. That's what, you're in a crowd, but you're lonely. Jairus is standing there waiting on Jesus, probably hyperventilating, tears running down his face, probably just sitting there so anxious, can I get a hold of him? And what will he even do? I wish there were some desperate people in our audience today who would stop trying to look good and stop trying to present good and get desperate for Jesus. and not leave here as lonely as you have been. Amen? And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Man, these women have got a lot in common, don't they? Some of you are racking your brain right now. What do they have in common? I see Jairus, he gets an appointment with Jesus. That's a good appointment, ain't it? Hey, Jesus, can you come to my house? My daughter's dying. Yes, let's go. What do you do then? Do you call ahead? Clean the house. Oh, yeah, and go and get in those crazy places and get that stuff out. Jesus is coming. That wouldn't hurt nobody in here to clean some stuff out of your mind and your life because Jesus is coming. Amen? Jairus has got an appointment and Jesus is on his way. She's only 12 years old, but she's dying. But then there's another lady there. She's been sick for 12 years. As long as this girl's been alive, this girl's been sick. They got another thing in common. Money can't solve the problem. I hate to tell you this, money can't solve your problem either. And money can't solve my problem either. We think it can. We think people are going to solve the problem, right? We exhaust and we try and we try to figure it out and we seek counsel and we seek help and we look for everybody to fix and we talk to everybody that we know and we ask our friends who have probably never even dealt with the same situation you're dealing with, but they've got all kinds of advice. I tell you what I would do if I were you. Yeah, you've been divorced 6 times. I don't know if I want to talk to you about relationship matters. Here's what I would do if I were you. Yeah, you went bankrupt 4 times and you lost your house last year. I don't know if I want to talk finances with you. Oh, never mind. Some of y'all are, y'all got it together. Y'all look good. Y'all act like you ain't knowing what I'm talking about, but I have a sneaking suspicion that you do. Here's what I'd do if I were you and met with that same problem, that same issue. They fold like a $2 tent. Amen? Guess what? There's another lady there. She ain't got no appointment with Jesus. She's going to make her own appointment. She heard about Jesus. Somebody told her, somebody described, and she went to doctors and she paid. I mean, she kept writing checks. And doctors kept saying, we'll fix you. And every time they wrote the check, they went back and checked. And guess what? Same issue. She said, I've spent all I have trying to get a hold of Jesus. I've spent all I've had trying to get well, I mean, I've spent all I've had trying to get right. Some of y'all spend all your time, all your energy, all your money, all your effort to get right, but you won't do what it takes. I'm going to be really real with you this morning. Some of you keep telling me, I want this to work out. I want that to work out. I want to get better. I want that to get better. But you won't do what it takes. You won't do whatever it takes because when somebody says, okay, if that's what you want, if that's what you want to do, guess what? You're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. Let's try it this way. All right, the woman's got an issue of blood. She said, you know what I'm willing to do? I'm going to get low. I'm going to tear it all the way down to the ground. Are any of y'all going to tear it all the way down to the ground? Are any of y'all going to get all the way back down to the basics, get down to the foundation of you and your relationship with Jesus? Let Him look at all your flaws and all your insignificance, all your things that you don't like to show over the people. Guess what? She said, I'll get low when everybody else is high. Even in the crowd, when everybody else is standing, everybody else is having a good time, I'll get low. I'll get low. I'll get on the altar. I'll get so low that nobody will be able to see me. And I don't even know if God will see me, but I'll let Him know I'm willing to get as low as I can. Some of you are just so prideful. Got a stiff neck, stiff heart. You won't bend to God. If you won't bend to God, guess what? He's not going to touch you. Amen? If you won't bend to God, He won't bend for you. Amen? He won't touch you. Amen? He won't touch you. If you need Him, you need to bend. If you want to be touched, you got to bend. If you want to reach Him, you got to get low. whatever it takes. Everybody keeps saying, well, I'm going to try another effort. I'm going to try another thing. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. You know what works? I'll try anything. God, I'll do whatever it takes to get a hold of you. Somebody's gave you the, hey, get on the altar, get low before God. And guess what? Sometimes that's what it takes. Then she says, you know what? I'm not gonna leave if he don't recognize me. I'm not gonna do something. I'm not just gonna give up. I'm gonna stay a while if I have to. I don't know how long she stayed low in that crowd. I don't care how ignorant she looked, how embarrassed she was, because sometimes you just go, if I go up there, I'll be so embarrassed. If I get low before people, if I let people know what's wrong with me, if I get that place, people are gonna know I got problems. I'm just going to get there anyway, because I'll do whatever it takes to get a hold of Jesus. I'm not going to let him pass by. I'm not going to let this one opportunity slip by me and me not touch him. You know what she did? She touched him. Didn't have an appointment. Didn't have a set time. Everybody else was doing their own thing. You know what she said? I think I'm going to reach out because I'm going to do whatever it takes. God's already dealing with a lot of you this morning, and you're already making up excuses and reasons why you're not going to do what it takes. Some of you said, well, I should have come up here to this altar. I got some real issues. Somebody already else came. But you know what? I don't want to go and interrupt the whole service. Guess what? That's why we came here. That's why we have service. You're going to leave here with the same issues and problems that you have because guess what? You're not willing to deal with them because you're worried about inconveniencing other people. You're worried about what other people might think about you, and you're going to leave here with the same issue you came with. So I don't care what happens. I'm just going to touch him. I'm going to get a hold of him. I'm going to touch him right now when he goes by, and I don't care what he does. I don't care if I get well. I don't care if I get whole. I don't care if he fixes it. I don't care if he heals. I'm just going to let him know that I'm going to touch him. I was wondering today, I wonder how many people would keep coming back to Jesus if he don't do what you want him to do. If he don't fix what you want him to fix. Are you still going to love him? Because you know what God fixed in me? Me. He gave me eternal salvation. He doesn't have to do anything else. He don't have to do anything else for me. If he does, great. If he don't, great. But guess what? If he's already touched you and gave you salvation, guess what? He's done enough in your life. You should make a resign. I'm going to love him anyway. I'm going to touch him anyway. It don't matter what he does. I don't know if he'll make it right. I don't know if he'll make me whole. But I'm going to touch him anyway. But you don't have an appointment. He's going with somebody that has an appointment. He's going with somebody that's more important than I am. Jairus is a ruler, and I'm just somebody who's got an issue. Amen? He's a ruler, and I got an issue. Guess what? God don't care. He likes everybody. He loves everybody. He don't discern against nobody. There is no great and there is no small. There is no rich and there is no poor. There is no haves and there is no have-nots. God wants to touch everybody. The problem is everybody don't want to touch Jesus. I guarantee you that was a big crowd. They all thronged him, but only one person touched him. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive the virtue has gone out of me." That word virtue is power. Jesus has been stopped this morning already. You didn't know it, but he's been stopped. He stopped right up here. He's right up here. He stopped for some people. Plenty of people were there. Plenty of people were touching him. People were seeing him. But guess what? Until somebody touched him in the right way by faith, he didn't say a word. Jesus got stopped by somebody's faith. He's walking, just doing his normal thing. I'm preaching, just doing my normal thing. And all of a sudden somebody says, "I don't care if you're preaching. I don't care what kind of service we're having. I've got to touch him. I've got to get a hold of him. I don't know if it's going to interrupt everything, but I need to touch him." Jesus just dead stops. Somebody's touched me. Peter thought it was crazy. What are you talking about? Somebody's touched you. Everybody's touching you. No, not everybody. Some people touching me physically. They're not everybody's touching me with their faith. Not everybody's willing to get to that place where they'll do anything. I got a problem with drugs. Well, will you do anything to get off those drugs? I got a problem in my relationship. Will you do anything to get that relationship right? I got a problem with my kids. Will you do anything to get right with those kids? I got a problem with my family. Will you do anything right? I got a problem with my friends. I got a problem at my church. You know what most problems in churches are? You. You not wanting to forgive. You not wanting to let some stuff go. Amen? That's it. That's the main problems you have. It's not that somebody's done you wrong or somebody's doing you so bad. It's you just won't get over it. You've been forgiven much, but you won't forgive an ounce. Amen? Jesus, just stop. Somebody has touched me. And you said, how do you know? Because the power has gone out of me. See, the process is ugly. The process is ugly. You got to get low. You got to do things that might be embarrassment or shame to you from other people. You got to get into a place to announce and say, guess what? I ain't got it all figured out. I ain't right. I'm not completely whole. I don't know how I'm going to get this fixed. I'm powerless. And guess what? I'll get to this place. And when you get there, Jesus says, great. And everybody can look at you and say, man, look how weak, look how insignificant, look how powerless, look how, man, thou would never do that. But guess what? They're leaving the same and you're going home different. You'll go home with peace. You'll go home with joy. You'll go home with a solution. They'll go home with pride. They'll go home with bitterness. They'll go home with anger. And they'll say, I wished I wouldn't have just let him pass by. I wished I hadn't have just let him pass by my life. You don't have many services like this that Jesus passes by early. You should take advantage of it. But he's on his way somewhere else. He's on his way somewhere else. He's going to go somewhere else. He's going to touch somebody else he shouldn't touch. You know he shouldn't touch the woman with the issue of blood. She shouldn't have touched him, and he sure shouldn't have touched her. Amen? Aren't you glad Jesus touches us, the ones he shouldn't have been able to touch? Oh, never mind. Well, I'm glad that he touched me. He shouldn't have touched me. He should have left me alone. He should have said, no, Kevin, you're too bad. You're not a Jew. You're too bad. You're a sinner. You're a liar. You're a thief. You've used drugs. You've had sex outside of marriage. You are a liar. You are a thief. You're all these. I don't want to touch you. But he did anyway. Amen. He touches people who touch him. Reach out to one who can touch you. She said, I'll do anything. But he's heading on a collision course with a person who can't touch him. He has to touch her. Amen. But he shouldn't be touching either one of them. This woman has an issue of blood. He's going to touch somebody that's dead. Oh, glory. I know what it is like to be dead. I was spiritually dead for almost 30 years of my life. And he come and touched me then too. Amen? You know what I like about the woman with the issue of blood? She touched him on the outside. I think I heard it. She touched him on the outside. This side over here knows it. This side over here don't know it. Tell them. Yeah, yeah. See, we reach for Jesus with the physical. We reach for Jesus with our words. We reach with Jesus with our hands. But He touches us with the Spirit. We say, oh God, help me. And God says, I'll help you in a place that you didn't even know that I could reach. A place that you didn't even know that I could touch. A place that you thought, my God, was too hard for God, too far for God, too deep for God. God can't. Hey, I'm going to ask Him, but I don't even know if I think He can do it. The altar should have filled up again. Some of y'all come up to this altar just a few seconds ago and you ask God for stuff that you don't even think He can do. You liked me when I was normal and calm just a second ago. Some of y'all bring stuff to the altar and you take it right back to your seat and you sit there and go, well, I prayed about it, but I don't know if He's going to do it. That woman that had the issue of blood didn't say, God, if you can. She just said, if I touch him. Some of y'all need to tell the enemy. Some of y'all need to tell yourself. It's done. God's in this thing. Never mind. Sorry. Let's get back into that neat and clean preacher. You know what I mean? I know, when I start talking, when I start speaking real things, you know, it's hard to swallow, but guarantee you one thing. Guess what? Later on today, you're going to be sitting there going, yeah, I talked to God about it, but I didn't give it to Him. Some of y'all need to give God your issues. Stop telling Him about the issue. He already knows it. Somebody needs to come up here and say, God, I know you know what the issue is. I know what the issue is. It seems like it's bigger than you can handle, but I believe, God, that you can handle any situation. I'll just beg you. Came behind Him and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And she said to Jesus, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee, and they pressed thee. And thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, because I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me. That word virtue right there is the word where we get our word dynamite. Anyway, just wanted you to know that. In verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she had was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. So she got ugly, but she was made whole. Amen. I'd rather be a little bit ugly, but whole. Amen. Somebody, come on, say amen right there. I'd rather be a little bit ugly, but whole. Amen. I'd like to be a little bit embarrassed, but whole. I'd like for people to talk about me and say, he's that radical Christian. He's that crazy man. He's that shouter. He's that runner. He's that roller. He's that one that spends time with God. But oh yeah, there's one more thing you're missing. He's whole. Amen. She's whole. She used to have a drug problem, but she's whole. She used to be real sick, but she's whole. The marriage is a mess, but she's whole. He's whole. Oh, never mind. Y'all ever praise God in here? Every once in a while, lift your little hand every once in a while and just say, thank God. Man, thank God. I'm whole. I used to be out of my mind, but I'm back in. While he yet spake, there cometh from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Jesus, I made an appointment! And you healed somebody who didn't have one. Have you ever thought God forgot about where you were at and what was going on with you? You got off to a good start. God, some of y'all need to quit playing. Got off to a good start. Man, God's in it. God's healed. God's fixed. God's on His way. Jesus is on His way. I bet Jairus was like, He's coming to see my daughter. He's coming to see my house. He's going to heal my daughter. I bet the hope and the joy and the peace that was coming up in his spirit. He was like, man, if God's on His way, Chris, do you mind if I just stop? Will you remind me to come back here? Hopefully you will, but I want you to say this. Why was he walking in the first place? Why was he going in the first place? I've read in the scriptures before, all he would have had to do was say, she's okay. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to be there. He didn't have to walk down to her house. He didn't have to come by here either. Some of y'all think God has to do some stuff. He don't got to do nothing. He came by here because he was giving you an opportunity to stop him. See, he could have, as soon as he got off the boat, and Jairus said, my daughter's sick, because I know the whole situation, she's healed, go home. But I'm not here just to heal and fix. I'm here to save and fix everybody. Oh, sometimes God will make it a process. God will make it a process. It won't be an easy thing. It won't be something that gets fixed by one word. It'll take some action. It'll take some faith. It'll take some mountains. It'll take some valleys. It'll take some time. It'll take some effort. It'll take some trust. It'll take you saying, God, I'll take my hands off of it. While you're still working on me, while you're still working on the situation, while you're still fixing it, God, I'll take my mouth off of it. Somebody's going to come tell you some crazy stuff. She's gone. She's dead. Don't trouble him. Don't listen. Don't get the master involved. It's too late. It's never too late for the master to be involved. Forget the devil talking. That's not God. Amen. Verse 50 is a good verse. You might want to highlight and write that one down. But when Jesus heard it, oh, never mind. He answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Never mind. Never mind. Wait a minute. Have you ever had some real bad news? And to the world, that's like over, right? She's dead. Don't trouble Jesus. But when Jesus heard, golly bum. Two different highways. But when Jesus heard, he said, don't be afraid. I'm going to make her whole. But God, this is a big situation. There's nothing too hard for me. Never mind. I'm the God of eternity. I'm not the God of time. You never run out of eternity with me. You can run out of time, but you can't run out of it. God's working on a whole different level. We're working on a time level. He's working on an eternal level. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maid. And all wept and bewailed her. And said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Jesus says stuff that the world hates. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But I thought they were crying. Hey, some people make me mad. You know what? Hey, some people, they love attention so much, they would like more attention than the person that's laying in the box. They want the focus to be on them. Because when Jesus showed up, they're like, oh, poor Jairus' daughter. I noticed this too. You ever notice the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter don't have names? Because the reason they don't have names is because their circumstances have become their names. Your circumstances can rob you of your title and your position and your place and what you're doing. Amen? Oh, that's the person that had that. That's the person that's got this. Amen? They get down there and there are people just crying and weeping and upset and broken. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, so bad. So late. Oh, that girl, she was such a good 12 years old. Jesus said, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. You're an idiot. But I thought you were weeping. But I thought you were upset. I thought you were just so torn out of the frame for me and my family. Some people love attention. You know what Jesus does? Huh? Get them. Shut the door. Right? Shut the door on them. Get them out of here. Bring in Peter, James, John, Mom, and Dad. Why? No, come on. Why? Why? Why Mom and Dad? Why Peter, James, and John? Get everybody out who's going to say, this is impossible. Get out. This is crazy. Get out. You shouldn't get in the floor and pray. Get out. You shouldn't get around your table and pray for your kids. Get out. No, never mind. You're crazy. Get out. You serving God, trusting God, having faith in God. Get out. We need people in here that will believe. Mom, Dad's like, we'll believe. That's why I come get you. Amen? That's why I come to get you. because I want you to do something. I don't want my neighbors to do nothing. I don't want the doctors to do nothing. God, I come and got you because I run out of money and all the answers. And God, I come and got you. If you want them out, good. I wish you could see them. Some of you daddies need to hear this. Get out! Some of y'all need to look at some boyfriends and say, get out. Amen. Yo, spineless coward. Get a backbone. Say, get out. You're a punk. Until you become a man, get out. Some of you mamas, for your boys, need to look at some girls and say, get out. I'm just running all through somebody's garden. I'm sorry. But we want them to like it. We want them to be our friend. You're not supposed to be your kid's friend. You're their mom. You're their dad. You're the authority. Tell them what you want. They're waiting for it. I've never met one disciplined man, not one disciplined woman, who ever come up and said, man, my mom and dad were super easy on me. Not one. They all said the same thing. They were real hard and they loved me real good. Some of y'all need to raise the bar. And if your mom and daddies won't do it, kids, some of y'all need to say, bye. Bye. Because they laugh when you talk about Jesus. They laugh when you talk about praying. They laugh when you talk about church. They laugh about the God thing. You need to shut the door on that friend or that boyfriend or that girlfriend and say, you know what? It's silly to you, but I love him more than I'll ever love you. And I'll just believe he'll bring the right one into my life. Goodbye, good night, see you later. Maybe we could be friends when you grow up. Sorry. I didn't even mean to get into a relationship message, but some of you must be struggling there. We are. And he put them all out. Could you see that daddy and that mama? Y'all get out of here. When you get desperate, you'll do whatever it takes. When you get desperate, you'll do whatever it takes. You won't care what everybody, well, they're going to talk about me in the community. I know people are talking. Listen, people are going to talk about you anyway. I don't care if people talk about me. That preacher, you either love me or hate me or you're somewhere in between. We don't care. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to get a word from Him for you. I'm trying to live for Him myself. You're radical. You're crazy. You're right. Y'all need to stop worrying about what. Nobody's going to come and be parents for you. Nobody's going to come and be the man and woman that you need to be in your life. Just do it. Oh, man, God just won't let me move on, will He? Some of y'all are sitting here going, I can't breathe, preacher. You're choking the life out of me. Well, that ain't me. That ain't me. Some of y'all need revival in your relationship to God. You know what you got? You know what you got? You got some kind of insurance. What you got, Scott? Come on, you got some kind of insurance. I don't know what that is. I go to church insurance. I got saved insurance. I got saved, and I'm good. Man, I made peace with the man upstairs. That's what you got. You know what you need? I'm blood bought. I'm forgiven of my sins. Paul said it this way. I'm trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. No, you know what he said? He goes, I'm trying to arrest that thing that arrested me. You ever seen that show, Bad Boys, Bad Boys? It's cops. Remember it? Come on, I don't know if they still got it on. It's like PD Live now. When you arrest somebody, it's an ugly process. Can I explain it real quick? Usually, hunting you down. You think you've got far enough and hard enough away, but God, you can hear them coming, and then you can hear the master calling, "Get on, boys! I'm a coming! I'm a coming! Stay on the trail! I'm a coming!" And when he does get you so tired and so sweaty and so a mess, you don't even know how you got to run. You didn't know how you was running. You just ran. Next thing you just ran out, and you're hiding in a place that you can't hide. Like Adam and Eve, they were hiding behind fig leaves. Great idea. Your hiding places don't look much better than that. Right? Hiding in your homes, hiding in places all isolated and all alone. But God comes walking into those places too. And he throws you on the ground. He puts the holy handcuffs on you. Throws you in the back of the holy patrol car. He puts you in a place where the only way you got to look is to him. And if you're smart, you know what you do? You got me. You got me. I'm guilty. You got me. You know what he does? He takes the handcuffs off of you, lets you out of car, and says you can go any way you want to go. You know what you do? I'm going after the one who got me. You start running after that God that chased you down through those bad places. Let's all stand. Is that what you got? Or have you got church? Is that what you got? Or you got some possession?